Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Followers of Jesus Christ are being conformed to the image of God's beloved Son. Here is a truth that's mind-blowing, isn't it? We who follow Jesus Christ, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, that we are being conformed to that very image.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. The Bible tells us we are created in the image of God. But what does that mean? Today on The Verdict, we're continuing in the book of Colossians and learning how our Lord Jesus is the perfect representation of the image of God, and how this is key to our life's purpose and our personal identity. So let's join Pastor John Monroe for part two of his powerful message titled, The Image of God.
Last time, we thought about what it means to be created in the image of God. Being made in the image of God means that we're created by God to love and to serve Him, and also to relate to one another. And while in the beginning, man was made perfect, we are fallen beings. We no longer mirror and represent God perfectly. Our mirror, as it were, is defaced and scarred by sin. The image of God is still there, but it's not a perfect representation. Today we'll learn that Jesus Christ is the perfect image of the invisible God. And through our Lord Jesus, the image of God in us is being restored. That is, Jesus Christ not only saves us, but supernaturally transforms us. Listen now as we think of this mind-blowing truth.
We learn from the opening verses then of Genesis that we're not only creatures made by God, that is true, we are made by God, but we're more than that. We are people made in the image of God. So first, we're created in the image of God. Secondly, the image of God in man has been marred, but not obliterated. I read from Genesis 1, but what happened in Genesis 3? The fall. And great was the fall. But the fall did not obliterate the image and the likeness of God in man. Turn back to Genesis 9, verse 6. Creation, Genesis 1 and 2. The fall, Genesis 3. Genesis 9, after the fall, obviously. Genesis 9, verse 6. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. Said after the fall. Turn to the New Testament, to the book of James. James chapter 3. James, the little book after Hebrews in your Bible, New Testament. James 3, verse 9. He talks about the tongue, the taming of the tongue. James 3, 9, he says, with it, our tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made what? In the likeness of God. Made in the likeness of God. Even after the fall, it is said that as human beings, we're made in the image of God. We're made in the likeness of God. So the image of God in man is marred, but it's not obliterated. It's been defaced, but it's not been erased. It's been tarnished, but it's not been destroyed. It's been marred, scarred, corrupted, and spoiled because of sin, but it has not been obliterated. We are still human beings, even in our fallenness, we're still human beings made in the image of God. So number one, we're created in the image of God. Number two, the image of God in man has been marred but not obliterated. Now with that background, we come to Colossians 1 verse 15, where Paul makes this brilliant, marvelous statement. He, the context is the Son, God's beloved Son. God's beloved Son is the image of the invisible God. That is, the Son of God is the perfect image, the perfect manifestation, the perfect representation of the invisible God. When Paul says that the Son is the image of the invisible God, he's not saying that God's Son is less than God or other than God or a mere feeble copy of God. No. We are created as human beings in the image of God, But Jesus is the image of God, the image in accordance with which we are originally made. Look again at Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him, that is in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. God's Son possesses all the fullness of deity in bodily form. So to say that God's Son is the image of the invisible God is saying that God's Son is God. He is the perfect likeness of God because he is God. And in the miracle of the incarnation that we celebrate at Christmas time, God the Son becomes man to reveal God. In Romans 1 that I've referred to, Paul explains that the creation manifests and reflects God's invisible attributes of power and divinity. But in Jesus Christ alone, God's being and essence are manifested and reflected. And while Jesus Christ always was, is, and will be the image of God in eternal relationship, it was when the Word became flesh that the invisible God became visible in his Son. He, God's Son, is the image of the invisible God. Think of it. Every quality, every characteristic found in the Father is found in his wonderful Son, his beloved Son, who perfectly manifests and represents God. Therefore, to see Christ, to see God's Son, is to see God. Only God's Son is the perfect image of the invisible God, because the Son, like the Father, is eternal and unlimited in his deity. You wonder what God is like? You want to see God? Look at the Son. Look at Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. And so Jesus could say in John chapter 14, verse 9, whoever has seen me has seen whom? The Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. The writer of Hebrews says he's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Just as the physical sun, S-U-N, radiates the rays of light, so the Son of God brilliantly radiates the glory of God. The glory of God being the totality of the divine attributes of God. In fact, God's Son not only embodies the glory of God, he reveals the glory of God. And this Son, which shares eternally in the divine essence of the Father, reflects the Father's essence perfectly and exactly. After all, doesn't it make sense that only God can fully and perfectly reveal God? Therefore, to see the Son is to see the glory of the invisible God. And that's exactly what John says in his prologue in John 1. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He's manifested him. He's exegeted him. He's revealed him. And to see the Son then is to see God himself, because he is the image of the invisible God. Isn't that wonderful that we who are made in the image of God can now see God and understand God, this God who is invisible, who's inaccessible, who is in a sense unknowable, who's so beyond us, who's so transcendent. Now, in Jesus, this invisible God who is Spirit becomes visible. And to be in a right relationship with this God who made me, I must see and look at Jesus Christ. I must turn from my sin and my darkness and look, as Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we're created in the image of God. Secondly, the image of God in man has been marred but not obliterated. Thirdly, God's beloved Son is the image of the invisible God. Number four, and finally, followers of Jesus Christ are being conformed to the image of God's
beloved Son. Here is a truth that's mind-blowing, isn't it? We who follow Jesus Christ, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, that we are being conformed to that very image. You see, how does that happen? In two ways. First of all, present transformation, what we would call our sanctification. And then in the future, total transformation, the total extreme makeover, as it were, in our ultimate glorification. First of all, the Christian grows. This is the Christian life. The very essence of the Christian life is growing into the likeness of God's Son. What we call, the theological word, is our sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus. What is salvation? Salvation is when we have this initial personal encounter with Jesus. When I come from my darkness into his marvelous light, as Paul has explained. When I'm delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. When I experience this redemption and the very forgiveness of my sins, I see Christ and I'm transformed, but that's the very beginning of the Christian life as I'm born again. Now, day by day, I am to follow Jesus. And the closer I follow him, and the more I listen to his words, the more and more I'm being transformed into his very image. Yes, we're originally made in the image of God, but sin has marred and deface that image in me. But that image, for those of us who follow Christ, is now being progressively restored and renewed as we become more and more like Jesus, our sanctification. That's our goal, isn't it? To become more and more like Jesus. Turn back to Romans 8, where we will see that. Romans 8. We all love verse 28. Let me read verse 28 with you, but then look particularly at the next verse, verse 29. Romans 8, 28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. How wonderful. And therefore, throughout Scripture, over and over again, we are exhorted to be like Christ. We're exhorted to be like God. For example, John 13, 15, Jesus says, I gave you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Philippians 2, verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Some examples. As we live the Christian life, I'm not just to love you, I'm to love you as Christ loved you. I'm not just to love my wife, I'm to love my wife as Christ loved his church and gave himself up for me. I'm to be like Christ, and the only way I can be like Christ is to keep my eyes on Christ and listen to Christ and be supernaturally transformed as more and more we're transformed into his very image. As followers of Christ, we're not only to proclaim Christ, but we are to display Christ, image of God, ambassadors of Christ, image bearers, God's representatives on earth, so that men and women who are in spiritual darkness, as they look at us who are following Jesus, see something of Jesus in us. Something of his love, his humility, his forgiveness, his righteousness, his patience, his grace, his compassion. That's what it is to be a Christian, isn't it? How long have you been following Jesus? How long is it since you were saved? You're becoming more and more like Jesus. Those of us who are married, would our spouse say that? Those who know us the best, our children, our parents, being like Jesus. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Contrast between the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and the new covenant, when we look with unveiled face as we see the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into that very image. This is our sanctification, isn't it? Being transformed into His image. And what has been lost in the fall because of sin is magnificently restored by our marvelous Savior, who restores in us the image of God, which was marred and defaced by the fall. Oh, when Adam fell, he certainly fell. The fall was radical. The fall was not just a little fall. It was a great fall, and the consequences were tremendous, so profound that Adam could never save himself, could never put the pieces back together, could never by ourselves restore that image. No, it's too cracked, too defaced. But our blessed Savior comes, who is the image of the invisible God, coming into time and space, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And says John, we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the only way in which you and I can become like Jesus, as we look at the glory of God displayed in His blessed Son. That's our sanctification. But it's not over, is it? It's a struggle, isn't it, the Christian life sometimes? There's many distractions. We thought of them this morning. The external pressures on us to get our eyes on something other than Christ. But one day, one glorious day, every follower of Jesus Christ, we will be perfectly, yes, and fully conformed to the image of God's Son. That is our glorification. God has predestined us, we read from Romans 8, verse 29. God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is God's eternal purposes in the life of His people, which will never be thwarted. Says Paul in the great chapter on resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Isn't that wonderful to know? That you and I, with that image marred and scarred, that we shall bear the image of the man of heaven, God's wonderful Son. And John says, let me read it to you in 1 John 3, as we close this evening. But let me read from verse 1. 1 John 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. It's not just that God loves you, John is saying. Think of the manner of His love. Not only does He love you, but He brings you into His family, that you're now His children. And in the family, as you look at the child, you see the resemblance to the mother and the father, don't you? We are now children of God. That's a manifestation of the Father's love for us. And so we are. The reason why the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall what? We shall be like Him. Because we shall see Him just as He is. That's our future glorification. That one day, I'm going to be perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm His child now, stumbling, disobedient, faltering, but I'm still his child, and his purposes are being worked out in my life and your life if you're a follower of Christ. And this we know, that one day we shall be like him when he comes, when he appears, and we shall be perfectly like his son. That's our glorification, perfectly like God's son. John Nelson Darby, the founder of the so-called Brethren movement, has a beautiful hymn, and one of the verses is this: "And is it so, I shall be like thy son? Is this the grace which he for me has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to his own blessed likeness brought." Brothers and sisters, can you imagine God's grace? Not only does he forgive your sins, not only does he give you eternal life, not only does he bring you into his family, one day we shall be like his son. Yes, the image of God presently in us is like a shattered mirror. We do not display, we do not reflect Christ perfectly, do we? But Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, has come to seek us and to save us and to transform us. And perhaps you're here and you're not yet saved by God's grace. Can I urge you to look to Christ, to turn from your sin and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. He perfectly displays the glory of God. And the only way to know God is through his son. And if you keep looking at Christ, you don't have to worry too much about your self-image. You will experience a transforming, extreme makeover. And your greatest joy will be to know Christ, to commune with Christ, and to display the invisible God to the sinful world. Robert Murray McShane said, "For every look at self, take 10 looks at Christ." Good advice. As a society, we look at ourselves an awful lot, and we're self-absorbed. And yes, there is a time to look realistically at ourselves in the light of Scripture, but McShane was right. For every look at self, take 10 looks at Christ. Why? Because the more you look at Christ, the more you look at God's wonderful Son, the more you will become like him. And then there will come that day, that glorious day, when all of us saved by his grace shall be perfectly conformed to his image. And we shall see him even as he is. And we will, for all of eternity, be perfectly like God's beloved Son.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a message titled, The Image of God. And John will return in just a moment, so stay with us. Well, as we continue our study in the book of Colossians, we'd like to send you a special resource that helps you further understand the promises of God on salvation. It's a wonderful booklet written by John titled Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. By sharing details of his personal testimony and providing a thorough examination of Scripture, John answers the tough questions you may have about the implications of salvation and what it means to be truly secure in God's grace. As a thank you to our listeners, we're offering this special resource absolutely free. Request your copy by mail or download it online by visiting calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're there, be sure to also sign up for monthly email updates from John. Now, before we close, let me invite you to play a part in sharing these daily biblical messages with a financial gift of any amount. Your generous contributions will help deliver the gift of God's Word to new listeners in your community and all around the world. To partner with us today, just go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. On our website, you can also learn how to join our Sunday morning worship here at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And no matter where you're listening from, you can join us each Sunday through our live stream online. To learn more, visit calvarychurch.com. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? How like Jesus are you? God's work of salvation in us is not only to forgive our sins, as we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, but it is to make us more and more like his Son. I love the quote from one of the heroes of my faith, Robert Murray McShane, who said, "For every look at self, take 10 looks at Christ." Will you do that? And join me next time as we think of the uniqueness and supremacy of Jesus Christ. He is Lord above all.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.